And welcome to this week's Talk of the Rock. I'm your host, Jared Griffin. And this week at KMXT, if you haven't noticed already, it's our fun drive week. It's our membership drive week. We're all about giving this week. And but on today's episode, we are focusing on giving, but we're also focusing on getting. And we're going to talk about the joy of giving, the joy of getting. And the Kodiak Arts Council is giving us a fantastic community production called Joy, and it's community orchestra, community choir, and I got to sit in on a rehearsal a couple of days ago, and it's amazing. And so joining me in the studio today to talk about Joy and the Arts Council and community choir and community orchestra are Joy's choir director. Is it choir director or choral director?
Oh, I think either would be appropriate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think we're going with choir.
Choir director. All right.
Program, but yeah.
That's Jill Rohr. Joy's orchestra director, Angie Shervanak, is here. Hello, Angie.
Hi.
And from the Arts Council, and also a member of the choir, Hazel De Los Santos. Welcome.
Hello.
So, all right, this is a big community music production. It's like a pops kind of concert. So let's just talk about... generally, like, how important is a community-wide musical venture like this? We've got musicians and singers from all over the community. How do you feel that it impacts the community during the holiday season?
I think it brings people together in a way that they don't normally get to be together. You know, you go through elementary school, middle school, high school, and you can be in the ensembles, and then unless you continue as a music educator or you live somewhere where you have access to, maybe you can join the college wind ensemble or something like that. Once you graduate high school, those opportunities kind of go away unless we create them. And so that's what we did.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like, as a performer in the choir, it brings back a lot of nostalgia from high school and from when I did choir in college. And so when I came back home and... you know, the pandemic hit and there was no community choir for a while. I was like, oh, I kind of miss it. I would go back through videos and be like, man, I wish I could do this again. And then once we brought the idea up, I was like, yeah, I can't wait to do this again.
So how did this idea, how did this all get started? Hazel, you mentioned, yeah, I kind of went away because of COVID. We did do some. There were some musicals with a pit orchestra, Music Man, and then there was the Messiah. But how did we get back to it?
I think the idea kind of just came up. We were talking about our performing arts season for the following year, while Katie was still the executive director, and she was like, "What if we do a pops concert this year?" And I was like, "Yeah." Let's do it. Let's bring it back. And so we contacted Jill and Angie, and here we are now, a year later, putting it on.
And Jill and Angie, you have, talk about your experience putting together. Both of you have been both music and choir directors for Arts Council shows, for schools.
Right.
Tell us about yourselves.
I taught for about 20 years, band and occasionally choir in the Kodiak School District. I performed under Jenny Stevens many, many times, both in community choir and playing in her orchestra or pit orchestra. And partly some of this idea came from the work that Jenny had done for so many years, decades, with community orchestra and community choir. So I'm hoping we can carry on her tradition, and I'm happily retired, but this gives me a nice opportunity to go back and rework some of my musical skills and have that experience working with other musicians that may not have been playing for a number of years.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And I think Jenny is the first one to call the December concert Joy, right? We piggybacked on that and kind of just
added 23 to it
just to, but yeah, that was her original idea. I taught in New York before I moved here. I taught for 5 years, but I taught kindergarten through second grade. So that's a very different animal than adult community choir. I've been involved with musicals since I've been here. But that's completely different because of the tracks that we use. So, you know, there's conducting involved, but it ends before the shows. Like at this point, you know, I was telling my husband last night, I said, you know, at this point during a musical, I'm out of a job. But not with a choral concert, you know, that I'm still an active part of it, which is a new thing for me. And it's kind of fun.
Talk about that some more, because that is a very interesting difference. You're now up there, or sometimes you're behind a piano, but now you're there center stage.
Exactly,
in front
I am
of everyone.
Often behind the piano, yeah. And I have had numerous people tell me during rehearsals, "You need to come out from behind that piano and you know help us sing." You know, you're hiding back there. I'm like, yeah, it's a nice large instrument to hide behind. It's great. But yes, my major in college was music ed, but my instrument was piano. And so I have done a lot of accompanying. I think my choral director in sixth grade handed me my first piece to accompany. So I've been accompanying ever since I was a little kid. Yeah, it is really different to be out in front, but we're making it work.
So, let's talk about the show itself. How would you describe the sound of joy?
Oh my!
Sounds like a philosophical question.
Right, yeah, the sound of joy.
Full,
right?
It's just, yeah. Like you know the. Every time we were in choir rehearsal, I just think like, oh, how's the orchestra going to sound? How are we going to sound together and all that stuff? And it's like when we're all there, I don't even realize who's next to me or who's behind me because there's just so many people involved. Mm-hmm. And then when we're all together on Sunday and I hear, you know, all of us together, it makes my heart full. And I don't mean to sound like corny right. or cliche about it, but it's like, oh my gosh, this community is filled with such talented individuals.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was listening to African Noel.
Yes.
That's behind stage, yeah. I was off stage, and I thought, I need to record this. So I'm recording behind, no people. But the sound was so beautiful. I got lots of it on tape, and I'm starting to cry. And I'm like, oh, boy, they're almost done. I got to pull it together and go and direct the next piece. Right. But it was a symphonic choir sound. It was huge. Just filling that space, and I was excited. I was very excited.
Absolutely.
And teary.
Yeah. Right.
In a good way.
Oh, of course. And of course, I'm backstage listening to you leading the orchestra and getting all teary because, oh, this is so beautiful. And there's a ton of talent in that orchestra. You have you've got that clarinet soloist and you've got the trumpet trio coming out. So there's some highlights like that. That give it, you know, some texture. It's not full orchestra the whole time, but I don't know. And I love that sleigh ride piece. That just gets me every time.
It's
so
fun. It's a fun little one.
How many people are involved?
39 in the choir. Plus, we have Constance Jensen playing the piano accompaniment for us. So that makes 40.
And we have and 35 orchestra. In the orchestra.
35 orchestra.
Yeah, and of that 30, of our combined, we have all of the school district's music teachers.
Oh, no way.
Every music teacher, current music teacher, is
so
involved.
Great.
Sarah in the choir, and the others are in the orchestra.
Oh, fantastic.
And we have three retired music teachers involved.
Marilyn.
So Marilyn, Constance, and myself.
Yeah.
And this is a full orchestra, brass
and
woods,
strings.
Mm-hmm.
No harp.
Oh, no harp.
No harp.
sorry, ladies and gentlemen. So what went into the material selection? I went to a rehearsal on Sunday, and I think what I was most surprised at was how many of the songs that were new to me. Mm-hmm. Or the arrangements were just so new and fresh. I was like, it was almost like listening to a brand new song.
Oh, fun.
I dug back into my roots coming from band and was very familiar with Sleigh Ride, Bugler's Holiday, Leroy Anderson as a composer for bands and symphonies. And so those were a few that just, I thought, these are some typical winter programming. And then I started looking at community groups on YouTube, and That was another source that I used to find some of the pieces that we picked.
Right. So was there a particular sound on the orchestra side that you were looking for?
What was hard, that Jill and I were just talking about this a couple days ago. We chose the music in June or early summer. Right. We had no idea who was going to be in the orchestra or choir at that time. So we were really going blind and faith on faith that we would choose pieces that could be sung and played by whoever showed up.
Right. Yeah.
So was there a certain level of difficulty? Because so you said there's a lot of music teachers, music educators, but there are several people in the orchestra and choir that are coming back to this after several years' absence.
Yeah.
Which is so amazing once you hear it.
We pushed it, hoping that we would get our music teaching colleagues and people that we knew wanted to join. Mm-hmm. We knew we had to go to a level that would be a challenge and also would provide the audience with a level of listening.
Yeah.
So
it definitely pays off. Mm-hmm. On the choir side, was there a particular sound you were looking for as you were picking?
Honestly, I went to the J.W. Pepper site and would type in just words. Like I'd type in snow and see what popped up. And I just listened to 26 songs about snow and see which one resonated with me. And then I'd order a copy of that one to play with. And I got some good advice from a friend about often, unfortunately, the case with community choir, community theater, everything, you're often low on male voices.
Yes.
the tenor bass parts. So the advice was try to steer clear of four part. Don't go soprano, alto, tenor, bass.
Oh, interesting.
Go soprano, alto, baritone, and then and then you'll have more of the low voices on that part. And of course, I listened a little to that, and I still ended up with two soprano, alto, tenor, bass pieces, and they've got it. They worked hard to get all those parts down, and even the altos and sopranos split into ones and twos in a couple of the pieces. So we've got six or eight vocal parts going at once, and it's been a challenge, but it's really worked out well.
How has the rehearsal process been going? You picked the music out early summer, and y'all auditioned in August?
September.
Oh, 10th. September. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then rehearsal started the 17th. So it's been
twice a week.
Yeah, twice a week. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And how often do you get to rehearse together? It's usually when the orchestra is there in the band room.
We just have one grand finale piece at the end that's the orchestra and the choir together. So
done it four times.
Probably. Four or five
times.
Yeah, something like that. I have a recording of the accompaniment, so the choir has practiced with a track when they couldn't practice with the orchestra.
Hazel, what's the vibe among the singers, the artists during rehearsal?
I don't know. We're serious, but we have fun at the same time because it's just it's a wide range of age groups.
Yes.
Yeah.
It really is.
They fall in the middle-ish, I guess. But it's always just so positive all the time. And, everybody knows what they're doing. And, it's a challenge for me because I kind of am horrible at sight reading music. So during this whole process, it's really gotten my brain going, being oh yeah, this is what I used to do back in college. Also, because I haven't sung, I don't know, I guess classically in a really long time, I've been using a lot of my chest voice and belty to sing recently, when I performed for Chicago or when I performed at, out at the bars and stuff like that. So going back to this and my roots, when I used to do voice lessons with pedal, I'm like, man, I miss singing like this and being around people who have the same sound as me, I guess.
No, that's really interesting. Jill and Angie, what is... How do you approach directing a show like this versus like a musical? Like, how is it different coaching Joy than it is coaching Chicago or like The Little Mermaid?
That's a good question.
Well, is it different?
For Chicago,
it is different. Yeah.
Was different because mm-hmm. I was doing vocal coaching because right. I had tracks right. mm-hmm. Years ago when I conducted the pit orchestra and then took over from probably when Jenny had done the vocals from in the pit. I remember having to, you know, sometimes mouth their words mm-hmm. when they're on mm-hmm. stage.
Mm. But it's a pit
orchestra is a lot smaller.
It's just there to accent the voices. But this is so yeah. I guess it's different because with a musical, there's mm-hmm. characterization.
Yeah, and in a musical, when you're using when I'm using a track, it's a lot of training a vocalist to listen for. Okay, you're going to hear this sound. There's going to be three. You know, blasts of a trumpet, and then you come out, and then you know. But with this choir, it's more watch me, and you'll know what to do. You know, rather than trying to listen to a track.
Yeah.
I feel like it's catered to what you know the directors want, how they want to slow things down, how they want to you know make it sound, and we can take our time with it, mm-hmm. rather than listening to like the backing track and be like, okay, cue here, cue there.
And you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
You
come in or you've missed it.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. What have been some of the other challenges of the rehearsal process and the rewards that come from those challenges?
As we know, in any kind of a community event or community grouping, people's schedules, you know,
it is a community.
It is not a perfect. It's not a job. And
we're talking almost 80 people. 80 people with 80 different schedules.
80 different schedules. Yeah. I mean, when we had Chicago, we had people that were they would get called to the emergency room. Some of our leads, I can remember, and so you try and cover things, but there are always things that happen, and so. When Jill and I first were discussing this, we talked, you know, before we met any people or knew who would be in, are we going to have a attendance policy? Are we going to allow them certain number of absences? Sure. And then when reality knocked on our door, it's like, nope, can't do it. And most people really have been very conscious and so they make as many rehearsals. We both had
as much as they can.
We both had to be gone. Mm-hmm. We found people to take over in our absence. So, so it really there's an awful lot of give and take, and
I think more so in Kodiak so in Alaska in general. I assume not just Kodiak, but the traveling that happens and going out of state for medical or going out of state for whatever, it takes longer to go.
And our weather is.
if we're super quiet, we will hear this wind just mm-hmm. rattling through the studio.
So I think you know that that has been
the
a challenge.
One thing
that people might not think about with instruments, if we're on Kodiak and your instrument breaks, you have to either be very lucky and know how to fix it or mm-hmm. have somebody around that can fix it. But that has been a little bit of a challenge. So. Mm-hmm. We get crafty and find people we can borrow from, but overall, I think that we've gotten through all of our challenges very well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, everyone works together to make it happen. Yeah.
What have been some of the now that you're heading into performance weekend? What are you feeling most rewarded by in this whole process?
Seeing everything come together, mm-hmm. like on the stage with the shell, with the lighting, mm-hmm. when the snow starts coming in.
Right, yeah.
You can't do a holiday show without snow.
Gotta have snowfall somewhere. Yeah.
And that snow is okay with the instruments?
Oh, they won't.
We'll be off stage.
Oh, you'll be off stage. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Very clever and thoughtful planning by Miss Jill to have it come when we could be off stage. They all thank you profoundly.
Well, I can imagine them hitting those big, you know, going kettle drums, and then the snow is like
falling in the
into the tuba.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. Well, that came kind of from a realization, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, where, you know, it needs to be more than just we're going to get up there and sing and we're going to play. It needs to be an experience too. So I don't know. I panicked when I first realized, okay, we got to choose some lights, and you know, how do we want the lighting to look for this song? What's going to enhance the sound without distracting from the sound, and have it be an experience for the audience, different than going to listen to a high school band concert, right, and choir concert. You know, like it needs to just have a little, not that I'm not, there's nothing wrong with those, obviously.
Well,
obviously,
there's a different expectation of spectacle.
As an arts council event, nice, I all of a sudden felt all this pressure to be like, oh, it's got to be a little bit different. It's got to be a little bit extra.
It's a little oomph.
Yeah. and how are we going to do that without taking away from just the sound?
Yeah.
You know, so.
What do you think audiences are going to take away from the what do you want them to take away from the experience? What should they expect?
Like warmth and
warmth,
excitement,
yeah,
for the season, for their family, mm-hmm, for, and maybe hope that,
yes,
hope that if they maybe wanted to explore some music, mm-hmm, that wow, I could go and sing in a
yeah,
big group.
Yeah, next time,
know,
I'm going
to, I don't have to be a solo. I could go and sing in a group. I could bring my instrument out and play. Mm-hmm. So, just kind of a rekindling of some joy and community. And
with me even, you know, advertising this all over Facebook, we've been getting messages on our website like, you know, when can I join choir? When can I join orchestra? When is this happening again? So just a heads up, guys. there are people interested, and I, you know, I can push for advertising as much as possible on every social media or posters and radio ads and all that stuff. But it's just like people don't understand until they actually get into the venue of what happens at the Arts Council. So that's why I get annoying on all social media sites, because I want them, because I know there are so many talented people out there and who love live music and who love to sing in the orchestra, and the orchestra sing in the choir and play music in the orchestra. So I want more people to be involved.
And
stuff
we
like
are going to provide an opportunity for the audience to sing along.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
And kind of experience that feeling of singing in a large group of people, because, I mean, it's going to be hundreds of people singing together at that point. So we do have three carols, and the words will be in the program, so everyone will be able to sing along and follow along and enjoy that.
Do you have personal favorite pieces?
I do, as a
singer. Okay, yeah, let's hear yours.
I really like Carol of the Snow.
Okay.
Just because when I did choir with Petal, we did Carol of the Bells.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that was just always my favorite piece. So then when I heard this rendition of it, I was like, ah, nostalgia. I love this one so much. And I also love I Wish You Christmas.
Yeah.
It's the song that closes out, you know, the choir lineup. And it's really heartfelt and sweet, and I hope we make people cry.
Right. Angie, do you have a favorite piece?
Oh, no. I
Which one moves you the most? One that moves you the most.
So I told my orchestra a month and a half ago, I said, we'll know when you have Huron Carol as close to perfect. Mm. It will make me cry. I was listening to a performance by a community group from Minnesota, I believe. And I was walking in the woods, and the leaves were falling. We still had leaves, and they were falling down. And I just was listening. I just was just bawling and crying because it's so beautiful. It's Canada's oldest hymn. It was written in 1642.
Oh, wow.
It's just beautiful, and it may be known to people by "Twas in the Moon of Wintertime." Mm-hmm. That's the English name, and it's just it's very beautiful. It's challenging. It's one of our most challenging pieces, but it's slow. It's beautiful. So I suppose that's my favorite emotional piece.
Okay. And then,
I love Bugler's Holiday as a trumpet player, you know. That's, that's just, yeah.
Jill, your favorite one?
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to have to go with I Wish You Christmas. It's a John Rutter piece. It's just, it's so, I don't know, he's just got all these harmonies that just sound like Christmas. I remember in one rehearsal, I played the chord and I was like, and then the altos have this note. And all of a sudden it's a Christmas chord. You know, like it just changes the sound of it. And I have to admit, like, as I was putting all these songs together, you know, I would, you know, close my eyes and picture, okay, who maybe is going to be in the choir? And I'm seeing all these faces of musicians that I've worked with. And then, and like, you know, when that piece would, I would play that one and I would see all these faces of people I care about and have sung with and have done all these things with. And I was like, I have to put this one in the program. And it's one of those ones that's many parts, but it just has been so perfect, and they pulled it together so beautifully. And, you know, we're rehearsing it the other day, and I just thought, this sounds exactly like I hoped it would, you know, and it was just perfect. So I'm going to go with that.
There's one piece, and I don't have the program. I don't know the title. It's the trio, Dave Heumann.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh. That one, I was supposed to be working on lights, and then I stopped because... Yeah. This trio
the
just comes out.
Of that song is so beautiful. Yeah. And the three voices, yeah. Dave and Miranda and Maddie, they just do a fabulous job with that one. Yeah.
So we have about 1 minute left. So let's go over just the details of the show. We have so the show is this weekend. So I'll toss it over to Hazel. Dates, yes. Times, tickets.
All right. So Joy 2023 is happening this Saturday, December 2nd at 7 p.m. And then we are also doing a Sunday matinee show at 2 p.m. You can get your tickets at kodiakarts.org. Also, bonus, on Saturday night, we will also be doing a dessert auction during the performance. So bid on your favorite desserts to take home for the holiday season.
And the show runs about... 90-ish minutes.
Well, it might be a little bit longer once we get everything. Yeah.
That's true. With the intermission.
With
so
the intermission,
maybe about 100.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. A little over. Yeah. Yeah. So thanks again for coming in to talk about the Kodiak Arts Council production of Joy 23. Is it Joy 23 or Joy 2023?
2023.
Joy 2023.
It looks cooler with four numbers on it.
It does.
It does.
Joy's choir director, Jill Rohr, the orchestra director, Angie Shervanak, and a member of the choir and from the Arts Council, Hazel De Los Santos. Thanks for coming in, talking about the show. Go see it. You'll be moved. And Hazel wants you to cry, so bring tissues. thanks again. Thanks for listening.